Blog Talk Radio.
Once a man is glad to smoke like a grandmother.
200 days are down, and there's no end in view. A shot of fireball, one reason turned to screw. A 40 ounce of steel and silver and the ice will brew. I'm so bored, I'm doing nothing, but I got nothing to do. So pour us up the Boilermaker, that's around, is there anything to pour us up the Boilermaker, time to knock the back.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Real fast before we jump into things too quick here, some show notes. If you're looking for some professional wrestling today, we have NSA in Palmer, Alaska for their big anniversary show. DOA Pro Wrestling in Portland, Oregon. Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, like usual on a Sunday. Two brand new promotions starting today. Up in our neck of the woods in Everett, Washington. Without a Cause Wrestling later today. And in Knoxville, Tennessee, Bandit Wrestling. So find yourself a show. Go support independent pro wrestling. And without further ado, I would like to welcome back to our show one of our favorite guests, Phoenix Kid. Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back. This makes number three, yeah?
I believe that is accurate, yes.
Yeah, I think we're three, yeah. That sounds right.
I mentioned in the show notes that NSA Wrestling has its big show today there in Palmer, Alaska, and you have made your way back there, and you'll be performing later, am I correct?
Yes, I'm actually in the car on the way there now. But big three-year anniversary show. This will be my first time back in over a year, so making the big return back. We'll see if it turns into a regular stop again, but as everybody knows, Washington is my home base right now, and I'm doing a lot of damage out of there, so we got to see how things work out.
One of the things that you've been doing a lot of in recent times over the last few months is death matches and hardcore matches. You've entered some death match tournaments. You've had a lot of hardcore matches lately. Last week there was an incident with some light tubes at Blue Collar Wrestling. What got you into this aspect of professional wrestling, and if you found yourself enjoying this part of the business?
This was something I've always wanted to do. From the jump, this was something I wanted to venture into. Being a Texan, growing up in that kind of history of wrestling, everybody knows Texas is the true birthplace of American hardcore. So that was always something I wanted to do. And lately, it's been falling into place. I've been ending up in these wild, crazy shenanigans. As you said, last week there was an incident at Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland with light tubes. I'm 110% sure that was the first time light tubes have been done in BCW. So it was good to make history for that. There was a lot of slack and a lot of wondering if I was okay and everything. And just for the record, I'm good. The war between me and Matt Traeger isn't over. I want that hardcore title. And he's got it right now, so the war isn't over.
Now, Mac Traeger is well-versed in these hardcore matches. He has a lot of those under his belt. You yourself showing that you're no stranger to them as well. How far do you see this feud escalating between yourself and Mean Mac Traeger?
I see this escalating to a point where BCW is not going to want to sanction the matches. as long as he has that title, I'm going to be after it. I've already proven that I can go hardcore. I can do death matches. And I'm respected on the East Coast. I'm respected in California as a credible up-and-coming death match wrestler. For some bizarre reason, the Pacific Northwest doesn't see it that way. And I'm here to tell the Pacific Northwest they can suck on it because I want that title. That title proves that I am the number one hardcore guy, and I don't care if it's Chief Atakula Kula. I don't care if it's Matt Traeger. If Wade Hess wants to come out of retirement and get some, he can get it too. It doesn't really matter who everyone thinks is hardcore in the Pacific Northwest, but I'm here to prove that that all goes through me now.
Now, in deathmatch wrestling, there's a lot of people out there that are well known for it, but they are also known as very good minds for the wrestling business as a whole. There's guys out there like Madman Pondo, like Necro Butcher, like Abdullah the Butcher, like Kevin Sullivan, that have had these ultra-violent matches all throughout their careers, but they also know how to implement these things, how to get the most out of them, how to make the most money at doing them. In your travels and with people that you've been on shows with so far, who would you say are some of the best minds for the business as far as the deathmatch circuit goes?
Neil Diamond is one that I would have to say is a brilliant mind for deathmatch wrestling and doesn't get enough credit. He really thinks about, like you said, he really thinks about how to make the most out of what we have, what's available to us. G Raver is another guy who really makes the most out of whatever he's given and tries to put on a hell of a show. Drew Blood, another guy that I happen to get in the ring and mix it up with. Another guy who wants to get the most out of what's available to him and really wants things to make sense and really wants to put on the best show possible and without everybody going to the hospital and all kinds of other crazy shenanigans. Excuse me.
Now, one of the things that it would seem to me that would be important, not only in death matches, but just in wrestling in general, but I would say even more so in death matches perhaps, is having good cardio. You have to be able to last a long time. You put your body through a lot, so I would figure cardio would play into being able to give you that extra little bit to survive in the match perhaps. Have you found yourself seeing that cardio is becoming more and more important the more of these type of matches you do?
For me, cardio was always a big one for me. Yeah, you can be strong and powerful, and that's great. But, I mean, you can't catch me, and you can't laugh with me. That strength's only going to last you so long. So that's always been a big one for me. But to answer the question, yeah, it's definitely being even more of a factor. Because like you said, you're putting your body through so much, and once your adrenaline starts going, your cardio is going to get zapped faster than normal. So being able to endure a good amount of pain and being able to endure some of the craziness that you have to do and still being able to keep your mind about you and being able to keep your wind, that's super important.
Now, I, of course, no stranger to some of the hardcore-type matches as well, and I've been known throughout my career as being able to take a little bit of punishment. You can ask the cement floor at the HPW Arena. As someone that's sort of new to this, do you find yourself watching footage of any certain hardcore guys to get a feel for what was working for them years ago, or do you watch more current tapes to try to see what guys are doing currently and try to incorporate any of that into your repertoire, or are you filling this out on your own without really watching footage here?
For me, I try to mix it up. I still watch a lot of straight wrestling too, and then I'll think of, okay, how can I employ this normal wrestling thing into a hardcore or a deathmatch scene. Case in point, I did a did an armbar, so regular old armbar in a deathmatch, and people were like, okay, that's cool. Then okay, let's start working into small joint manipulation. Okay, cool. People are gross or equally grossed out by that. Then they would be me getting stapled in the face or hit with something or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, you can still take those things and be like, oh, let's add something to it now. Now, the only difference between a hardcore match to me and a regular match is a hardcore match, you have weapons to employ in the match now, and you just have one extra element of storytelling to add into the match.
Are yourself like any other performer on the independent circuit is always looking for ways to increase their revenue, and one of the ways that that happens is merchandising. On the independent circuit, most of the merchandising goes through the individual wrestlers for selling it on their own, trying to make that revenue up on their own by selling what they produce. What's some of the Phoenix Kid merchandise out there that fans would be able to take home with them if they go to a show where you're performing?
Right now, I've kind of put the merch on hiatus for me just because it's been more of a focus on strictly just getting bookings and being able to get out to places on a consistent basis. Opening in the year, I'm looking into doing a limited edition set of pins. That'll be having news on that very soon. We're in the production phase right now, so I'll be putting out some news on that very soon. But of course, you always have your shirts. I'll be producing new shirts as well. Like I said, everything I'm doing is coming at the front of the year, so it's just kind of a waiting game right now and trying to get the ducks in a row before I say too much.
Understood.
We talked about the hardcore and death matches, but one of the places that this type of wrestling is most popular has always been and probably always will be in Japan, where a lot of guys have made entire careers out of doing that type of wrestling in Japan alone. Is getting to Japan for one of these deathmatch promotions a goal of yours at this point?
At this point, yes. Of course, that's always a goal, getting to one of those bigger promotions where I can make the big bucks. But right now, the bigger focus for me is becoming the first African-American deathmatch champion. That is a very important goal to me, not just on a professional level, but on a personal level. That's something that once I acquire it, nobody can take it away from me. And that's the big push right now. As far as you said, as far as making it Japan or Mexico, we're one of these big promotions where I can make the big bucks. Like I said, that's always a goal. But right now, my focus is just on winning that first deathmatch tournament and submitting my spot in history.
Now, at one point in blue collar wrestling over the last year, there was an incident that led to you being suspended. You were gone from blue collar for quite a while after that suspension. What can you tell us about your current stance with blue collar wrestling? And at this point in time, looking back, do you feel that the suspension was justified, or do you feel that they were being unfair against you?
With that suspension, there's a lot to it that a lot of people don't know about. We won't go into that, but basically the suspension happened and I don't really dwell on it now. It is what it is. However, coming back now, now that me and the management of Blue Collar Wrestling are mending fences and things are starting to come back into play, and now especially with the Brandt Dynasty, which is something I helped start it, taking over, where I think that this stint's going to be a good stint. I'm really excited for the things that we have going on. I'm really happy to be with the promotion right now, and hopefully the right choices will be made this time, and hopefully we'll see what happens.
Now, was this your first suspension from a promotion that you've had to deal with so far?
That was actually my first suspension. Actually, my second, because I've been suspended from Blue Collar twice. this one was a little longer than it probably should have. It wasn't really publicized either, actually. However, it is what it is. It happened. Under the bridge. Now I'm back to terrorizing the promotion. That's only I can do.
Now, at Blue Collar Wrestling, last week the Brandt Dynasty won a match in which they were able to garner control of the company. They now run Blue Collar Wrestling. Some might call it Brandt Championship Wrestling. Some call it Bear Championship Wrestling. I believe Brian Armstrong calls it Brian Championship Wrestling. What's your take on the Brandt Dynasty's takeover of the company?
You know, obviously I'm happy about it. As being one of the founding members of the Brandt Dynasty, I'm happy about it. I will say that there's some members of the Dynasty that need to start pulling their weight. I'm not going to drop names, Sean Angel, but some of them need to start pulling their weight. And I'm happy. I wish I could be there now to celebrate our victory, but unfortunately, or fortunately for me, I have other businesses to attend to. As everybody knows, I am the traveling one. They're going to do what they need to do tonight. Next week I'll be back to terrorize, and hopefully Mac isn't running too scared, and hopefully he'll give me another shot at that hardcore title, or I'll just have to take it.
In addition to Mac Traeger, there's other champions there in Blue Collar Wrestling. As we're discussing this at this very moment, you have Mr. Sexy Pants Paul Preston, who has the Pacific Northwest Television Champion. You have the Tag Team Champions, the Moonshiners. You have, I believe, also Zach Winters has a title there. Lots of championships to go after. Are you looking at all of these championships, or are you solely focused on the title around the waist of Mean Mac Traeger?
I am 110% solely focused on the title Mac Traeger holds. All the other titles, some way, shape, or form, the Brandt Dynasty has all the titles. The only title we're missing is that hardcore title and that women's title. And I'm not really focused on the women's title. I can care less about it. That hardcore title, though, that's what I want. That's what I need. And me and Mac are just going to keep fighting until I get that title.
I don't know if you want to take Sunny Days too lightly. She may not take kindly to that.
If she wants to put the title on the line against me, she can come get it, too. I really don't care. I'll take that title, too. So I wouldn't take me too lightly.
Now, one of the things that professional wrestlers take a lot of pride in is their wrestling gear. I know that you've worn quite an array of different types of gear, trunks, tights, several different materials for the gear. Would you say that you have a personal favorite set of wrestling gear that you like to use for the biggest matches?
I wouldn't say I have a personal favorite yet. I'm actually debuting new gear tonight. So I'm really curious to see how these feel. I'm just trying them on. They felt good. Right now I don't have a personal favorite. I like to go with my normal, black and red with the green and yellow top. I like going with those. They're super comfortable. Those are my favorites to usually go with. But yeah, I'm pretty much anything I wear, I'm pretty happy with it. I picked it for a reason, and it works for me, so I'm usually pretty happy with it.
Do you have a go-to gear maker that you like to utilize? I know some people are particular with whom, in fact, makes their gear?
The crew at Classy as F. I'm not going to say that. Drop the F bomb on your show, but down in Gresham, Oregon, those are my go-to right now. They have made several sets of my gear, and including my jacket, which still gets praised this day. And they're very reliable, very solid prices. So I usually go with them. They know what I like. They know how to make things for me without me giving too much instruction or having a babysitter or anything like that. And they do great work, so I usually go with them.
Well, at this point in time, QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions as well. So, Thez, help you as I pass things along to QT.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sungay. Welcome back, Mr. Phoenix, to the show.
Thank you.
This is your third time. That kind of puts you in Triple Crown status for the show. Triple Crown.
Yeah. I'm trying to get that Grand Slam now.
Do you mean Grand Slam would be four times on this show?
Yes.
Most people don't have the courage to come back four times on this show.
Well, I've been back three, and it hasn't been bad. So, I mean, it's working.
Oh, well, now granted, I think Kevin Brandt has hit the Grand Slam. Yes, Kevin Brandt. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Phoenix, are there any truth to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that you were in a recent death match in Sun Valley, California, against a wrestler named Terex for the organization Blood Brothers Pro Wrestling Crimson Cup 2?
Okay, so that there's half truth to that. Me and Terex were actually partners in the first round. It was against Neil Diamond and local favorite Gregor Petrov in a Guns N' Roses death match.
Oh, wow. Did someone get a dollar bill stapled to their tongue, and was that Gregor Petrov?
No, that was Neil Diamond by me. I stapled a dollar bill to his tongue, and in return he stapled $2 to my face.
Wow. Now, were these staples sterilized before they hit the tongue?
Yes. They were very sterilized. Everything was on the up and up. I pulled them right out of the pack before the match. So I'm the one who loaded the staple gun. So I was very much responsible for my own demise.
All right. Was a red swing line stapler used, like the one in Office Space? A red swing line stapler.
Excuse me. But there was one in the match. However, that wasn't the one that we used.
Are you planning to get together with Sign Guy and sell this red swing line staple on eBay for charity?
I'm staying away from staples right now. I'm not about that life right now.
Holy smokes. Okay. All right. I myself am planning, and this is just breaking news, to be in a semi-death match where paperclips will be involved. Paperclips instead of staplers. Yes.
Oh, no. No paperclips, no staples, no office materials.
Excuse me. Oh, no.
No office materials in general.
Well, all right. I'll have to notify Kevin Brandt that our paperclip death match is off. Yes. Well, now, speaking of death matches, do you see Just Exciting in a death match soon? Just Exciting.
No, he's a coward. He can't handle himself in a straight match, let alone a death match.
Ooh, wow. I don't know if I want him to hear that or not. Okay. He seems to be a crowd favorite.
You can deliver the message to him. I think he's a coward and too much of a pretty boy to do a death match.
Wow. Holy smokes. That's okay. That's pretty strong words. Okay.
You can post that on my page. You can do it however you want to make sure he gets that message.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to proper procedural protocols with Sign Guy about this. Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, now, Phoenix, speaking of blood brothers, are you familiar with the Clint Eastwood movie Outlaw Josey Wales?
I'm not, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So you are not familiar with the scene when Josey Wales and Ten Bears slice into the palms of their hands and they shake and become blood brothers. You're not familiar with that?
I'm familiar with this ritual. I've never seen that movie, but I'm familiar with this.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if you had seen that scene, how could a Josey Wales, Ten Bears versus Mean Mac Traeger and J.B. Moonshine death match be if a time machine could make this possible? But now the question is kind of moot.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Maybe for your homework assignment, you can look up this iconic scene where Ten Bears and Josey Wales become blood brothers, and then that question becomes a little bit more relevant. Yes.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to look that up to make the question, Michael. Make the question make more sense in my head.
All right. Now, Phoenix, could you see a possible death match between Randy Zellers and Sarah Irene?
No, absolutely not. I don't think that'll ever happen.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right. Well, now how about since my paperclip death match between Kevin Brandt and myself didn't go through, how about a real death match between Kevin Brandt and Sideshow?
I don't see many guys in this area doing death matches, honestly. It's a special thing, and I don't think many guys are about it.
Okay. All right. Well, now, speaking of death matches, sometime in real life, everyone has to face a death match of themselves, and it doesn't occur in the ring. I'd like to read to you a passage from Roddy Piper, a commemorative edition, the official tribute to a WWE legend. Can I read this passage that is even worse than a death match that he was involved in personal life? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Page 48. Who's the one person on this planet you get rid of if there were no consequences? And he says, I was in L.A., finishing my book, and there was this one guy working as a runner for me. On January 31st, 2002, I noticed some money missing, so I let him go. He says, no, wait, I can explain. Let's go out and get something to eat. Bottom line, he was angry. He's going 64 miles an hour in this old Jetta. His eyes get big, and he says, I can get rowdy too. He tried to kill me, just turned the car into a wall. I fell out, then two Suburbans ran over my okay, along from the cops, but I get in a cab, which takes me home. I must have passed out in the bathtub. My family called the paramedics. When they got to the house, my blood pressure was 60 over 30. I had broken my right ankle and four ribs. One rib went 4 inches deep into my liver and spleen. Plus, I broke my back in two places. I was bleeding badly internally, and one doctor told me he wanted to cut me open. But another doctor, who was a kickboxer, said, don't do it. He's a fighter. Let him fight. 9 days later, I just stopped bleeding. God takes care of fools and babies. They put this guy in jail. Then he had the gall to get a hold of me because he needed $10,000 for a lawyer. He's lucky I'm a Christian or I'd kill him with my bare hands.
Wow.
So Roddy Piper was bleeding internally with a punctured liver, and he was and he took himself home and laid in a bathtub. Plus, he got run over by two suburban vehicles. The moral is, I think he could hold himself if in his prime, if he had a death match. Yes.
Oh, I think he'd be fine.
Holy smokes, that's a hardcore in real life. The Piper.
Right.
Okay. He had some real crazy experiences with Ric Flair too, in Mid-South Wrestling back in the 80s. Yes. Okay.
Right.
Yes. All right. Well, Phoenix, I'm excited to see that Combat Pro Wrestling is going to be returning to Marysville, Washington on Saturday, November 17th at the Living Room Coffee House. The last event in Marysville was held in a roller rink. Are you going to be on this card November 17th at the Living Room Coffee House in Marysville?
We're still in the negotiation phases of that. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. We'll find out here in a couple of weeks. Actually, here in a couple of days, if that's going to happen or not. So follow the Phoenix Kids on Facebook to find out if that's going to be a thing or not. But either way, I'm excited for the promotion to be making a move down to Marysville. It seems to be a good spot for them, and it worked last show. So I'm hoping it have a good turnout this show as well.
Wow. Now, I'm sure Sign Guy would rather have it held in a tea house, because he's a huge fan of Tea Time magazine, but I don't think they have a tea house in Marysville. Speaking of which, do you prefer coffee or tea for a post-workout?
It depends on the day.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hopefully November 17th, the coffee will be flowing as well as title belts. Yes.
Right.
Okay, all right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, the Northwest wrestling scene raised its collective eyebrow with the recent announcements that Ron Von Hess and recently twice ranked number one Turnbuckle Turmoil wrestler Tyson Tank were stepping back from wrestling, possibly for good. Do you think this will have the same impact as, say, Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey Jr. leaving the Mariners, the departure of Tyson Tank and Ron Von Hess?
I don't think so. It's kind of hard to say. I think it'll be felt within their respective promotions that they work for. But I think that there's plenty of talent to fill the void that they're going to leave. So I don't think that I think they're going to be missed, but I don't think that the talent or the power of the shows are going to go down any.
Okay. All right. There does seem to be some new talent flowing in from wrestlers that want to visit from different states flowing in. Yes. To fill that void temporarily. Yes. Okay.
Right.
Well, Mr. Phoenix, are we to understand that you have landed in Anchorage by now and are on your way to the wrestling ring?
Yes, sir.
How was your flight? Sign Guy wants to know how your flight was.
A long 3-hour flight.
Wow, 3 hours. Holy smokes. Was anyone there to see you off and give you a care package for one of the wrestlers up there so he could save shipping expenses?
No packages were delivered by me this time. Doesn't mean any packages weren't bought up here, just none by me.
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, Mr. Kidd, many consumers are concerned about the beef that comes from cows that are raised on factory farms. In many instances, the cows are pumped full of antibiotics so they are disease resistant and they grow faster while getting less exercise. My question is, do you believe there is a young kid out there who is now himself or herself that is being raised on a factory farm and receiving one too many antibiotic shots that you may one day face before you retire?
I'm not worried about that kid. I'll tie that kid in the knot.
Oh, okay. That was kind of like a philosophical question, kind of a change of pace from death. Yes. Okay. Well,
fair
Mr.
enough.
Kid, how important is it to have a good battle plan the day before a match, and how much does your battle plan depend on how your workouts went 2 to 3 days before the match?
I'm the type of person that always has at least 3 plans going in. So having a battle plan is good, but just always be aware that one of your battle plans is probably going to fail almost immediately. That's why I always come in with 2 or 3, and that's why I'm a student of the game. I come in prepared, well prepared, no matter how my workouts have been. I've always got a plan.
That's kind of like that saying of Mike Tyson, everyone has a battle plan before they get hit in the face.
Exactly.
Mike Tyson said that, yes. Okay. Well, do you have a free-form improvise like a jazz artist when they change the card on you and put you in with a wrestler you have never faced before on the last second change, card subject to change type thing? Are you like a free-form jazz artist?
I can work with pretty much anything. So yeah, I've always got a plan for that too.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, are you a big fan of the Turnbuckle Turmoil weekly rankings? And do you think they create as much controversy as the weekly college football rankings?
I think they create more controversy because everybody wants that number one spot. Everybody just wants to even be on there, but everybody wants that number one spot. And I feel like I've been getting passed up as of late here. Cough, cough, wink, wink. I've been getting passed up in the rankings in general. So, yeah, I think they create plenty of controversy. They create a lot of talking points.
Wow, all right. I must be doing my job. Yes, I will try to do a better job to make them more weekly. Yes, it all depends on my work schedule. Yes.
Right,
I feel
right.
I have to be at the event and evaluating the talents and not go on hearsay.
I agree.
Yes. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, can you now, off the subject of wrestling, can you give us your prediction of the upcoming World Series that might last to Halloween, Boston versus, who was it? Is it Milwaukee? No, it's Los Angeles. Boston Red Sox versus LA Dodgers. Can you give us your prediction?
I'm going to say LA takes it in 7.
Wow, LA in 7. Holy smokes. Okay, very good. All right. Okay. Well, Phoenix Kid, I will try to get together with Sign Guy and sell that red swing line stapler that you used in the death match. Yes. And good luck in Alaska.
Thank you.
Okay. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right.
Thank you. Well, Phoenix, we talked about Japan earlier, but one of the other places that has really opened up for American independent wrestlers is Europe. A lot of guys from the independent scene here in America have been going to various places in Europe, such as Germany, England, Sweden, France, and wrestling over there. Is Europe something that's on your radar at this point?
Europe is kind of something that I look at and I'm like, okay, cool. If it happens, great. But it's not like a top priority for me. They have a very specific style there. I don't know how well I'd mesh there, but, if the opportunity came, I would definitely take it. But like I said, it's not a top priority right now.
Fair enough. Now, at the last BCW show that we discussed a little bit earlier, there is controversy in the match in which the Brandt Dynasty gained control of the company. Tex Thompson, who is not an official part of the match, assaulted Kevin Brandt, which led to a disqualification, which was happening at the same time that Bad Blood was attempting a three count. Lots of controversy in that. What do you think of that situation, and do you think that it was fair that the Brandt Dynasty was able to take control on a technicality that was pointed out by the outside of the ring official countermanding the inside of the ring official?
I mean, I have a biased opinion here. I was getting medical attention as this happened, but I feel like if it was a DQ and the referee called it, then it's a outside official called it, then it was a DQ. It had to be fair across the board, and unfortunately, Chin didn't hold up their end of the bargain, so they lost, and that was the name of the game.
Fair enough. Now, one of the people that is fairly new to the Brandt Dynasty that is also new to blue-collar wrestling in general is Ian Bear. He's only been with the company for a few short months, venturing out of his Washington residence. He has seemed to have progressed quite quickly within blue-collar wrestling, and his career over the last couple of years has really started to blossom compared to where he was. What do you think of the progression of Ian Bear over the last year or so?
I think that he made the right move by leaving out of the comfort zone of Washington. He's moving around now, making big moves, and he's done exactly what he needed to do. And I think that his progression can only go higher.
Well, we have hit the part of the show where we play a game we like to call word association. I'll throw out the names of some people you likely have come across. The first word or two that pops into your head to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Cool, let's do it.
Here we go. AK Lightning.
Oh, my man.
Y period T period Jones.
Best manager in the business.
Ring announcer Dimitri.
He needs to get my name right.
Max Burnside.
I want to kill him for his cruiserweight title.
El Sonico.
Well, that guy. What can I say?
Brody Adams.
Good old Brody Adams. I'll see him here soon.
Sideshow.
He's scary.
Sunny Days.
She's so nice. Too bad she's about to lose her woman's title here soon.
T-Rex.
I don't know what to say.
Girl Hebner.
Hard work pays off.
Paul Preston.
best pants in the business.
JB Moonshine.
Stop drinking.
Lance Dean.
Mr. Sexy Man. Sexy Man, or what is he now? Sexy Dude or something? I don't know.
He seems to have an identity crisis.
Yeah.
I think so, too. He can't figure it out.
CJ Edwards.
Oh, man. So many good things I could say about him.
Von Hess.
Arturo Von Hess. He's doing his thing.
Sasquatch.
I haven't been around him enough to really have anything to say.
Casey Carlisle.
I've never met her. I've only heard about her.
Randy the Pimp Taylor.
Oh, good old Randy. He's the best. I miss him. I haven't seen him in a hot minute.
King Marcus Anderson.
Huh. I don't even know. I have no clue.
Cole Wright.
Oh, man. Where is he? Where is he besides killing people in California and Arizona? I miss that cat, too.
All right. The last one, Sonny O'Mara.
I haven't been around him enough either. Like, a lot of these people I need to be around more.
Well, you better clear your schedule if you want to be around Sonny O'Mara. He'll talk your ear off for hours.
Oh, boy.
Little known true fact, I once fined Sonny O'Mara for foul language at a PWF show.
Where was that fine in BCW for Mac Traeger?
Well, I recommended to the office, he, Ian Bear, and Bad Blood definitely made last week not a kid-friendly show.
Oh, boy, yeah. Last week was not for the weak of heart.
It was not. It was like walking into an Eddie Murphy concert.
Oh, boy, right? Like, no kid.
Now, speaking of that, obviously every show is going to be targeted towards a different demographic. There's different styles that lends itself to different demographics. Do you have a personal favorite demographic that you like to wrestle for, be it like the hardcore adult fans, or do you like having an all family-friendly audience? Do you like having older audiences, younger audience? What's your favorite demographic?
I prefer the 21 and up shows. However, the family-friendly shows are a close second. Just the 21 and up shows, there's more freedom to do what I do, and say what I'm going to say and express how I feel in a manner that I feel is appropriate. However, the kid-friendly shows are great, too. Kids are awesome. Kids make wrestling cool.
Now, we mentioned him earlier, but one of the rising stars on the independent scene and someone that might be the best manager going today, Y.T. Jones, your manager, he might be one of the best managers in the game right now. What's it like being able to work with somebody who is so hot right now as a manager?
With him being hot, I mean, that only raises my stock even more, because, I mean, he on his own is doing a great job, and I hope that he's able to get out a lot more and get a lot more clients under his belt and able to see a lot more, because, I mean, I feel like he's a hidden gem right now.
Absolutely. Now, there's another manager that you come across on a regular basis as well, that being Paul Moonshine. I know you've faced off some of his family members. He has a very, 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 very large family, including the aforementioned Lance Dean, who is actually his son. What do you think of Paul Moonshine and what he brings to the table?
Oh, he's a relic.
All right. Now, we mentioned the show in Alaska today is your return. You're coming back there after a bit of an absence. You started your career in Alaska, as we talked about in previous interviews you've had here. What does coming back now, after you've had so much more experience, you've traveled to so many more places than you had previously, what's it mean to you coming back on this, their biggest show?
Well, I mean, their biggest show has to bring their biggest, the biggest product that they've produced in the last 5 to 10 years, honestly. So this is a big deal for me. This is opportunity to not only show what I've learned in my travels, but to prove the point that I've been saying for the last over a year now, that I am the real crown jewel of Alaska and that I'm the reason that people know what Alaska wrestling is all about.
On the other side of the spectrum, NSA has grown as a company. It's getting bigger and bigger every time they put on a show as well. You also have Flow in Fairbanks, Alaska, an all-women's promotion. With so much wrestling happening now in Alaska and so many people having Alaska on a bucket list for getting to before their career wraps up, do you think that Alaska might be one of the more underappreciated places in wrestling right now?
I honestly feel like it's getting to that point where people are starting to realize it. But it's still at that phase where there's the guys like me, there's the guys like YT Jones that are getting out there and proving that Alaska just isn't some backwoods state where nothing's going on, that we have credible talent just like everybody else in the country. So, I mean, it's guys like us that are making it possible for Alaska to even be a bucket list for guys.
Now, obviously, like we said, you have traveled to quite a few places. When people find out that you started in Alaska, do you find a lot of people in new locker rooms are curious about how they would get to Alaska? Do you get a lot of inquiries from people that are interested in getting there or just curious about what the scene is like in general?
All the time. It's a never-ending questionnaire inquiring of how they would get there, or how I even started there, and just the usual stuff, how's the scene, different things like that. So it's a regular thing for me. I just kind of answer them all the same way, and when they inquire, I give them the proper sources, and then hopefully it just kind of depends what happens from there.
Now, a lot of people have Alaska as the bucket list item, but a lot of people also have Hawaii as a bucket list item. Of course, Alaska and Hawaii, the two states that are not part of the continental United States. Is Hawaii a place that you've ever thought of going to wrestle, so you could say that you crossed off the two last states?
Hawaii's not even a blip on the radar for me, honestly. Like I said, it's another one of those it would be cool to go to, but it's not even near a priority for me. It's just like, okay, cool. If something came up there and the opportunity came up, cool, but I'm not actively seeking it right now.
All right. Well, we're down the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything you have, upcoming shows, any merchandising, social medias, your favorite bakery, floor is all yours.
All right, thank you. Like I said, today I'll be at NSA Alaska here in Palmer, Washington. Palmer, Alaska, excuse me. So used to saying Washington now. But I've got that coming up. After that, I have Gold Coast Federation down in New West, I can't even pronounce the place, in California. It's in SoCal. just outside of Anaheim. I'll be posting the poster up for that soon. But that's going to be November 3rd. Then I have, what else? Colorado Springs Wrestling in Colorado Springs, Colorado. That'll be November 3rd for their big Lucha show. And then other than that, just follow the Fiends Kid Facebook and Instagram as well, and I'll be putting up more information as I in about shows and different things like that as they come down the pipe.
Well, Phoenix Kid, it was a pleasure as usual having you on the show today. We appreciate it anytime you're able to join us here. Best of luck today in your match there in Alaska, and I'm sure I will be seeing you at some point fairly soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, fans, if you get the chance to see the Phoenix Kid, definitely do yourself a favor. Go watch what he does. Very, very entertaining, be it a straightforward match, be it a death match, whatever he's in, he does a great job. So get out there, support him and what he does. If you're in Alaska, definitely go out and check out NSA today if you're near Palmer. And we will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we have Crazy Luke Graham Jr. And 1 week from today, we will be back with you with the Lost Sullivan, Buddy Highway. Hopefully he gets a roadmap and can find his way to the show. But we will be back with you next week. Get out there, support your local independents, especially these brand new companies starting up. Should be some great times out there if you're a wrestling fan, and we'll talk to you soon.